Pint Glass Football Podcast is presented by Better Edge, giving the edge back to the bettors with no fee sports betting. At BetterEdge.com, you, not the books, set the price of betting lines so you can make bank with no VIG or sportsbook fees. Better Edge is available in 45 states for real money sports betting. Create an account and use code PGF for $10 on your first order. Play the game without getting played at BetterEdge.com.
Welcome to the Pint Glass Football Podcast.
This is Pint Glass Football, where we drink beer and talk football. If you're new to the show, welcome. But for the rest of you PGF Nation members, welcome back. Season 4 starts today with one of my favorite things to cover, the NFL Draft. Of course, I'm your host, Brad Fowler, and McKenzie Brewing is still the official beer of Pint Glass Football. Excited to have them on board again for Season 4. So excited to be back, guys. Got a ton of draft coverage coming up these next several weeks like we always do this time of year. And today, I'm going to give you my defensive player rankings for the top three at each position and what I like about each one. Next week, I'll rank my top offensive players in the draft. I also have a great interview today with Shane P. Hallam, who covers the NFL draft for DraftCountdown.com. And I'm also going to tell you who I think the best player in this draft is, and the name might surprise you. I want to start up front with the big guys and work our way back to the secondary. Let's start with the defensive tackle group. This is a fascinating group. My third-ranked defensive tackle in this class, a guy that I really, really like the more I study his tape, is Perrion Winfrey of Oklahoma. 6'4", 290 pounds, ran an impressive 4.8 40-yard dash. He really dominated at the Senior Bowl, put on a show, and that's when he started getting a lot of people's attention, myself included. He's a big, long, athletic defensive tackle, long arms, big hands. He's got an explosive first step. He's a really versatile D lineman. He played all over that D line at Oklahoma. They used him in a lot of different ways. I like that versatility. I think because of that, he's going to fit into a lot of different schemes and different ways that they're going to be able to use him at the next level. Very good player. I'm excited to see where he goes. At number two, I've got Jordan Davis of Georgia. This guy is a beast, man. 6'6", 341 pounds, ran an amazing 4.78 40-yard dash at the combine. This guy has off-the-charts ability as far as a combination of size, strength, and athletic ability. You just don't find guys like this with his size that can move like him. He put on a show at the combine, and that's where he really raised his stock with the numbers he put up there and what he was able to do in front of all those scouts. He's so quick, powerful hands. He plays with good balance. He's got the size. The size and power combination that you rarely find in a prospect. And he's the number one guy as far as defensive tackles for a lot of people. But I've got him at number two because his teammate, Devontae Wyatt at Georgia, is actually my number one defensive tackle. Man, this Georgia team was so loaded on the defensive side of the ball. It was scary. Devontae Wyatt is 6'3", 307 pounds. But this is a guy who was more productive than Jordan Davis, and that's why I've got him as my number one D tackle. He's a player that just got better every year he was in college. He's also a guy that I think is going to improve at the next level with NFL coaching. He's a disruptive player, a gap shooter. He's got great instincts. I love the way he read and reacts to the play. Like I said, very productive. In the 2021 season, he had 39 tackles, 7 tackles for a loss, 2.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and 14 starts in 2021. Just a big-time player. I think a guy that instantly comes in and becomes a productive asset for somebody day one. So let's shift gears here to the defensive end group. This is a group that's got a lot of depth, a lot of guys that are going to be big-time players in this league. My number three prospect at defensive end is Jermaine Johnson. man, I really, really like this kid. This is somebody that I'm starting to become a big fan of. When I watch his tape and I see what he can do on the field, his highlight reel is impressive. He is just a phenomenal player out of Florida State. 6'5", 254 pounds, ran a 4.58 40-yard dash. He's really long, quick, athletic. He's got those long arms, a long frame, tall. He's quick off the snap, and I mean really quick off the snap. He's really good versus the run. Needs to work on his pass rushing a little bit, but I love his ability as a run defender day one, and he just has great effort. I mean, this guy plays really hard. I love his motor. He has a never give up attitude that I think that's something that I really like and something that's going to really suit him well at the next level. Coaches are going to love this guy. I think he can put on a little bit of weight to bulk up and become an even better player. I don't think we've seen Johnson's best football yet. And that's scary because this kid is really, really good. And number two, this might surprise some people, but I've got Aiden Hutchinson, the guy that most people think will be the number one pick in this draft. I've got him number two on this list, the defensive end out of Michigan, 6'6", 260 pounds. He's a prototypical defensive end for a 4-3 defense as far as size and build. He's what you're looking for. He totally checks all the boxes, athletic ability, strength. He's a very polished prospect. I think he has the highest floor of any of these players by far. Very fundamentally sound player that comes in ready to start day one. I think he'll be a guy that's a plug-and-play starter at the next level. He's got good length. He showed out at the combine, put up good numbers, really good upper body strength. He's able to keep offensive linemen off of his pads. And look, I think Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a really good player. Don't get me wrong. But I have him just barely a notch, and I mean a very small notch below my number one defensive end, and that's Kayvon Thibodeau, the defensive end out of Oregon. He's 6'4", 254 pounds, ran a 4.58 40-yard dash. Put on a show at the combine, the bench press, put up some impressive numbers. This is a guy who's been dominant from the second he arrived in college football. He's been an impact player from day one as a freshman starter at Oregon. Just an awesome combination of size, speed, power. He's a twitchier athlete than Aiden Hutchinson, in my opinion. And because of that, I think he has a much higher ceiling. I think Aiden Hutchinson comes in as a finished product. I don't think Kayvon Thibodeau has hit his ceiling yet. And I think with some development, he could become a better player. And that's why I have him just a small edge over Aiden Hutchinson, because he's the twitchier, quicker athlete. I think he has better burst off of the snap. He plays really hard through the whistle. He's not as polished of a prospect, I'll give you that. But like I said, the ceiling is sky high for this guy because he's such an awesome athlete. He was the number one recruit in the entire country coming out of high school, and he's lived up to it at the next level. I'm a little shocked that he's been sliding down these mock draft boards because I still think he's one of the top five players in this class, and I think that he's going to be a phenomenal player at the next level. All right, let's shift gears and take a look at the outside linebacker slash edge defenders in this class. This is an interesting group. At number three, I've got Drake Jackson out of USC, 6'3", 254 pounds. I think some people are sleeping on him a little bit. I've seen him on a lot of top five lists. Only a few people have him as high as I do, but I really like his tape when I watch him because he's a relentless pass rusher. He can bend the edge. He's got really nice flexibility, agility. He's also got the long arms that you're looking for in a defensive lineman, especially those edge players. Big hands, keeps tackles off of his pads, uses that length well to his advantage. Now, he showed the ability to drop into coverage as well, and he's a really good pass rusher. His best football is also still out in front of him. He's a guy that I think has room to develop, but a very good player coming out of USC and a guy that I think could become a great player in the right system. At number two, Arnold Ebikete out of Penn State. He's 6'2", 250 pounds. shows a really nice burst and speed coming off of the edge. He's got a quick first step, really athletic player, just a natural pass rusher. He should excel on passing downs right away in the NFL. I think he's going to be a guy that can come into the league and instantly make an impact on third down and in those obvious passing down situations for an NFL team. He also shows a really nice combination of rip and swim moves, has some counter moves, can get around offensive tackles and be a disruptive player, I think, day one. My number one outside linebacker, edge position player is David Ajabo out of Michigan. He's 6'4", 250 pounds, ran a 4.55 40-yard dash. Really a nice 40 time for this guy. Fast player for a guy that's 6'4", 250. Really high ceiling prospect. A guy that if he reaches that ceiling could become a phenomenal player at the next level. He is really still learning the game. This guy has limited experience playing football. He showed that he got better and better, it seemed like, each week while he was at Michigan. A hard worker, a locker room guy, awesome speed to close out runners. He can close out the backside. He can get after the quarterback. He shows really nice technique with the strip sack move, always going after the ball, always trying to create the turnover. Like I said, a locker room leader, coaches rave about him. Now, he had a leg injury at his pro day, and that really hurts his stock. It's really unfortunate to see that because I think this guy would have been an early draft pick. I expect him to slide a little bit because of the injury, but it could benefit him in the long run because this is a guy that could end up going to a much better team later in the draft, a team that's willing to let him take a redshirt medical year, so to speak, and come back next season and possibly develop into a very good player. Unfortunate injury for him, but he's still my number one guy. I don't think he'll be the first one selected in this group, but I still have him rated that high because I just think he's a phenomenal player with a huge amount of potential. All right, let's shift to the inside linebacker position. At number three, a guy a lot of you probably have never seen play. I have to admit, I didn't see him play either until I started breaking down the draft coverage here. And that's Troy Anderson out of Montana State. Small school, didn't play in a lot of big national TV games. But man, this kid is really, really something. Crazy versatile. I mean, just a really great athlete. Sideline to sideline range. He actually played quarterback, running back, and linebacker in college football. That's how athletic this kid is. A two-way player at that level. Granted, it's Montana State. I get that. It's not exactly the SEC or Big Ten, but he dominated at that level. And if you're going to be a big-time NFL player and you're playing in a smaller conference, in a smaller league, you better dominate. And this guy did just that. I mean, he jumps off the TV screen when you watch his highlights because he's really explosive. I mean, he's a playmaker. He has really quick closing speed and wraps up ball carriers. Just a tremendous player. I'm really high on Troy Anderson. I think he's going to be a really good player. My number two rated inside linebacker is Quay Walker out of Georgia. Man, these Georgia guys, there is going to be a lot of them taken early and often in this draft. Like I said, this class is just loaded with Bulldogs. And this is another guy that I really, really like. 6'4", 240, ran a 4.5 40-yard dash. Really high football IQ. He's got great instincts. He can break down a play quickly, sees what's coming. Awesome hustle. He never quits on a play. That's something that I look for in defensive players. And I really put a lot of stock in guys who just have a good motor and a never give up attitude. This guy checks that box. He's also a wrap up sure tackler. He's got quick feet, really good technique. Really like Quay Walker. But my number one inside linebacker and one of the best players in this entire draft is Devin Lloyd out of Utah. You want to talk about a guy who fills up the stat sheet, 110 tackles with 22 tackles for a loss in 2021. I mean, crazy productive. He's a physical hard hitter. He blows up backfields, just a do-it-all player, stat stuffer, a guy who can play any linebacker position. He can cover, he can blitz the quarterback, he can pick it off. He had four interceptions in 2021, a wrap-up tackler, awesome technique. There just really isn't any holes in this guy's game. The only knock on him is his 40 time was a little slower than some people expected. I'm not really too concerned about it because when you watch his tape, he plays fast. He flies around the field. Just a big, big time player. All right, let's take a look at the secondary here, guys. This cornerback group is loaded. And at the top of this class, you've got three guys who are really, really going to be big-time players. At number three, I've got Trent McDuffie out of Washington. This is a guy who's agile, he's quick, he's got good hips, he can cover in man-to-man, and he's good in zone concepts as well. He can play inside, he can play outside. He's really going to fit into almost any defensive philosophy. He's tough, he's physical, and a really good run defender. I mean, he really embraces contact, good wrap-up hitter. He's going to be an asset versus the running game. And he's also a special teams return guy. And for you guys who've listened to the podcast in the past, when I break down these draft prospects, you guys know I love guys who can also contribute on special teams. I think it adds value. At number two, I've got a guy that most people have at number one, and that's Sauce Gardner out of Cincinnati. 6'3", 190 pounds, ran a 4.41 40-yard dash. Now, this is a guy who is awesome as far as cover man-to-man coverage, especially in press man coverage. He's a long, tall, really athletic. He's got great handwork versus wide receivers. He's super disruptive. He frustrates wide receivers. Just a competitive and confident kid. He has a swagger to his game. He knows he's good. He feels like he's the best player on the field at all times. And most of the time he is. He has been a dominant player that basically didn't give up any yardage, any touchdowns at all, it seemed like. I mean, a total shutdown corner at the college level. I had a hard time between him and my number one guy. It's not that I don't like Sauce Gardner. I really, really like his tape. I think he's going to be a great player. He kind of reminds me of Richard Sherman, a young Richard Sherman, just that long athletic cover corner that is so disruptive versus wide receivers. His game reminds me of him a lot. You don't see a lot of guys with his length and athletic ability. But my number one guy is Derek Stingley Jr. out of LSU. He's 6'1", 90. Now, Derek Stingley's tape has been a little bit up and down, and it hasn't been as dominant as Sauce Gardner's tape that was pretty much flawless when you watch him. But here's the big difference. Sauce Gardner played in the American Athletic. Derek Stingley Jr. played in the SEC. And let's face it, guys, there is a massive, massive difference between playing in the SEC, the hands-down best college football conference in the United States, versus the American Athletic, which is a non-Power 5 conference. Sauce Gardner was dominant, but versus much lower competition. He never faced the type of wide receiver talent, the type of quarterbacks and playmakers that Derek Stingley Jr. played against at LSU. And for me, that can't be ignored. Derek Stingley has elite speed. I mean, truly elite speed with fluid mobility, change of direction. The guy is so good as far as flipping his hips, being able to turn on a dime. He is awesome in man-to-man coverage, press coverage especially, but he can also play some zone. And he's a ball hawk who reads quarterbacks, and he has the playmaking ability to pick it off. He has elite ball skills. This is a guy, if you watch his tape early in his career, his freshman year, people were saying he was a lock to be the number one overall pick in the draft. Now, his tape was a little more up and down after his freshman year, but I think some of that is contributed to the dysfunction that was going on in the LSU program. I don't put it all on him. There were some injuries as well. But if you search, there's practice footage of him going up against Ja'Marr Chase and he is completely shutting down Ja'Marr Chase in practice. That's how good this guy is and how good he can be at the next level. I'm really high on Stingley Jr. I think you get him in the right system with the right type of players around him, and I think he can be a big-time number one corner right away. And quite frankly, all three of these prospects, I think, are plug-and-play starters. I think all three of them come in and instantly become their team's number one corner. All right, last but not least, the safety position at number three, I have Jalen Petrie out of Baylor, 5'11", 198. This is a guy who can really cover in man-to-man. He excels in that department. He's got really high football IQ. He can read the quarterback, has the ability to process plays quickly, can jump routes, make plays in the running game as well. And this is a guy whose draft stock has been rising after a great showing at the Senior Bowl and putting up impressive numbers at the Combine. He's really starting to get scouts' attention. I like his tape. I think he's going to be a really good player at the next level. At number two, Daxton Hill out of Michigan. Just a really complete player who can cover, he can play the run, he can play man in the deep single high safety, and he can play in the slot as a nickel. He can play corner on the outside. Just a big time secondary piece that I think you can move around at a lot of different positions. I think safety is going to be his ideal role at the next level, but he's going to be a guy that I think coaches are going to be able to use a lot of different ways because of his versatility as an athlete. I think he's a guy that could be an impact player day one. And of course, my number one safety is Kyle Hamilton out of Notre Dame, 6'4", 220 pounds. I said it in the intro, guys. This is the best player in the entire NFL draft. I know a lot of people have Aiden Hutchinson. Some people have Evan Neal out of Alabama. Some people have, well, quite frankly, there's a lot of opinions on who the best player in this draft is. But for me, it's Kyle Hamilton. This is my number one ranked player off the charts, football IQ and instincts. When you watch this guy, he jumps off the TV screen. NFL prototype size, speed, length, athletic ability for the safety position. He's a ball hawk. He has awesome ball skills, and he's a great open field tackler as well. I mean, this is a guy that quite frankly is the best safety prospect I've seen in years, several years. I'm really, really high on Kyle Hamilton. I think he is going to be a big, big time impact player day one. I would not be surprised if he goes as high as the number two pick overall in this draft. I think he is just an unbelievable player and so fun to watch. He's been so fun to break down his tape and evaluate. I just cannot believe how good of a player he is. He flies around the field. Some people are saying his 40 time might hurt his draft stock. I'm throwing it out the window because when you watch him, he plays super fast. He's rangy. He covers a ton of ground. And so I'm not worried about the 40 time at all because, like I said, he just plays at a really, really high level and he plays the game fast. Excited to see his NFL career unfold.
Pint Glass Football Podcast is presented by Better Edge, bringing the edge back to the bettors with no fee sports betting at betteredge.com. You, not the books, set the price of betting lines so you can make bank. Better Edge is available in 45 states for real money sports betting. Play the game without getting played at betteredge.com.
Excited to be joined by Shane P. Hallam, who's a NFL draft analyst for draftcountdown.com. He's also a college football and fantasy football analyst and a Steel City insider for 24/7 Sports. Shane, thanks for coming on the show.
No, thanks for having me. It's draft season. It's here. We're almost getting down to it. So I love just this time of year and love talking draft.
Yeah, it is one of my favorite times of the year, Shane. I love talking draft. Love having guys like you on the show to break it down. What have you been working on that listeners need to go check out as far as this NFL draft? I know you got some stuff coming up ahead here.
Yeah, go ahead over to draftcountdown.com. You can find my rankings for the 2022 NFL draft. I'll have a new 7-round mock draft coming out this upcoming Monday. So you can check that out. And I update that every 2 weeks. And Yeah, you can even find, if you want to look for some future drafts, I have a 2023 mock, 2024 mock. So we go nice and far. And of course, the countdown clock to the draft is right up there on the main page.
I absolutely love it. PGF Nation, you guys heard it. Be sure to check out his work at draftcountdown.com. They do great stuff over there and they cover it in depth, like he said. But I want to kick this off. Shane, you not only cover the NFL draft, as I alluded to in your intro there, but you also cover the Steelers. And they're in a unique position that they haven't been in years, and that's in need of a quarterback. Now, some analysts believe that they could be targeting a player like Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett, or maybe another signal caller in this draft. But at pick number 20, do you think Willis or Pickett will be available to them? And if not, could you see them getting aggressive and trading up in order to acquire a quarterback in this class?
This is a very touchy subject in Pittsburgh right now, with some fervent fans on both sides of what they should do here. I think it's clear that the Steelers are interested in the quarterbacks in this class. They are not a team that does a lot of smoke screens. Like, you knew they were taking Najee Harris. You know who they're taking almost every year. And when that guy's sitting there, they put the card in. Devin Bush a couple years ago when they moved up for him. I think we've seen Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert, the GM, be at every single pro day for these quarterbacks. They went to Matt Corral's pro day at Mississippi over going to Ohio State or UConn or any of those other schools that have some big time prospects. So I think they are looking at Malik Willis. I think they are looking at Kenny Pickett. I think they could be there. I know the general consensus of these guys going super high just because they're quarterbacks. I don't think the NFL views them as firm franchise quarterbacks, and this offseason kind of proves that. How many teams went out and got a mediocre Carson Wentz or Matt Ryan to fill the hole instead of drafting one or moving up to draft one? So I don't think the Steelers will move up. I think that would be, I'd be floored if they spent more draft capital or players to move up in this draft. I think they'll sit at 20. If a quarterback's sitting there that they like, I think they'll take them. And if not, I think they'll see if there's a quarterback sitting there around two. I think if Willis or Pickett are sitting there at 20, I think they run that card to the podium. But if not, I think it's going to be a long, hard thought about some of the other quarterbacks in this class.
Yeah, and that sounds very Steelers-like. They're generally not a team that does get aggressive and move up. It just, I find them in a unique situation, like I said, needing a quarterback for the first time in so long. I think that's one of those key picks in the first round that's going to be really fascinating to see kind of how it plays out in front of them and what Pittsburgh ends up doing with that pick. I want to stick with the quarterback talk here. You kind of alluded to this. This class is viewed as down, and most seem to believe that no quarterbacks will go inside the top five. But Detroit at number two overall is interesting to me. There seems to be a little bit of media buzz that maybe they could go after a quarterback. We know Goff isn't the future, but he could be a really good bridge quarterback for a rookie to develop behind. Could you see the Lions reaching here for one of these quarterbacks?
I don't think it's out of the question. I'll never say in the NFL draft that's never going to happen. I would be pretty surprised if they took a quarterback at second overall, just because, once again, I don't think the value is there. We don't have those elite quarterback prospects. I mean, look at last year, how much a lot of people, myself included, like Justin Fields from Ohio State. He falls out of the top 10. You know, if NFL teams have questions on the quarterback, they are not going to make that like reach for them. You know, we heard Mac Jones at number three for so long. He fell to 15. You know, he had flaws. And so teams weren't going to make that pick. Ultimately, I think the Lions at two, they're in a position where they don't have to do that. Yeah, I agree with you. Jared Goff's a good bridge quarterback. He's not the future, but they have a pick at 32 overall. They have a pick two picks later at 34 overall. And that's kind of a sweet spot for these quarterbacks. Yeah, maybe you don't get Malik Willis or maybe you don't get Kenny Pickett, but now Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati is sitting there and Sam Howell from North Carolina and maybe Matt Corral from Mississippi falls there. So I think the options are there if they like one of these players. They don't have to take one at two. They can wait and use that premium pick on another premium position, wait on the quarterback and still get one. I think that's probably more the strategy from their end.
Yeah, that's a great point about those picks later in the first and early second round, because you're right. A guy like Ridder could definitely be there, a guy that's viewed as a potentially quality starter. and a guy that could maybe be a player for them that they could sit behind Goff and develop as well. I think that's the smart move. Knowing the Lions, they'll probably take Malik Willis here and shock all of us, but but it's just it's a fascinating spot that I'm starting to see some buzz about them potentially making that move there, which I found a little surprising myself, because I think the smart play would be to go after one of these big-time position players. But I want to shift gears here. Players like Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson have come into the league and made huge impacts day one as rookies these past two seasons, not only for their teams, but also for fantasy owners as well. This class is viewed as deep at wide receiver. Who are some guys that you think could have big rookie seasons and become must-own players in fantasy football their first season?
I guess you're tough because you don't have that Ja'Marr Chase type prospect. But like we saw with Justin Jefferson, as you mentioned, maybe you don't necessarily need that. And it's why Garrett Wilson from Ohio State's my number one receiver. I think he's been mocked everywhere from 8, you know, to into the 20s. I think there's a wide range for him. But, you know, what Garrett Wilson brings to the table is good speed, good body control, and he's really good at tracking the football. You know, Garrett Wilson can get open very quickly, and that's good for fantasy football. If you get points for receptions, I think Garrett Wilson's going to be one of those players that can get open short range very well, but can also beat you deep, so you can't play and press him too much. So I really like him wherever he ends up going. One of my favorite receivers in this draft that I think is getting a lot more buzz, but still maybe a little overlooked, is Christian Watson from North Dakota State. 6'4", 208 pounds, 4'3 speed. He's a player that I've been talking about for a couple years now as someone who can make a legitimate NFL impact year one. I think he goes in the second round, and you have someone that has that big number one wide receiver type of physicality. Didn't quite have the production in college. They were run first team at NDSU, but I think Christian Watson's a player that can have that immediate impact. And then I think a wild card in that similar range is George Pickens from Georgia, a player that had a lot of buzz coming into the season, tore his ACL, came back, didn't do too much, had that great one catch in the national championship, but teams are definitely intrigued by the upside that he brings as a stalwart number one receiver for an offense. So if he falls into the second round, and I think there could be teams like Atlanta that, you know, need a number one receiver, could draft him, and now you immediately have a player who has talent, fell a little further than he should have, that could make an impact year one. I think this receiver class, even if you don't have a Ja'Marr Chase, I think there's going to be a lot of players that step into starting roles their first year as rookies.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I also like Garrett Wilson a lot. I think he's going to be a big-time playmaker right out of the gates. But some of these other guys, like you mentioned, I think there's going to be a lot of value in that second and third round. And there's going to be some guys, like you said, that can make an impact early on in this draft with so many playmakers coming out of college, and especially in this class. Now, we all have players that we're high on going into a draft, guys that we really are looking to and think, okay, that's my guy. He's going to be something special. Who are some guys that you really like that are projected to go in the first round, maybe the early second round grade type guys? Who are some of the guys that you're really honed in on that you think could really be big time players in this class?
Man, I think there's just a ton of good, really good players. At offensive tackle, Trevor Penning from Northern Iowa is definitely a player that I'm tuned in on. I think he's going to be exceptional. Another smaller school player, but absolutely dominant. You know, 6'7", 325, just a very, you know, brutal, tough Penning. Well, he's going to kick your ass, essentially. He's going to move you around the field. That's what he likes to do. There were defenders that were mad at him at the Senior Bowl because he was driving them back 10, 20 yards in some of these drills. I just love that kind of mentality. And I think even if he cleans up a little bit of his, you know, some of his functional footwork issues, I think Trevor Penning's going to be really good. He's definitely one of my guys that I would bang the table for there. I think in terms of edge rusher, George Karlaftis from Purdue is someone who's fallen a little more out of favor. He was highly thought of, but you know, he's 266 pounds. One of those players you can move around your defense. I think Karlaftis could stand up, be kind of a 3-4 pass rusher. I think Karlaftis could put his hand down, be more of a 9 wide edge rusher. There's a lot that he can do. He could even kick inside maybe to play a 5 tech position. things like that. So I think the versatility of Karlaftis is a player that I really like. And then, yeah, you know, I think also we talked about Garrett Wilson, who I'm a big fan of too, but I still think Drake London, the receiver out of Southern Cal, is a player who may not make that immediate impact this year, but I think we'll look back and see the dominant final season that he had before he had the ankle injury just show exactly what he can do in the NFL. And so maybe it takes till year two or year three. I think Drake London from Southern Cal is going to be a receiver that was going to be maybe peak a little bit later, but he's super young right now. He creates separation with his size in ways that most big receivers don't.
Yeah, I really like that take. I'm really, really high on Drake London, just the big body rebounder, box guys out, that 50-50 ball. He's going to get it 9 times out of 10, it feels like. I'm really high on him. I think he's going to be a phenomenal player. I've seen the Mike Evans comp from a lot of different analysts, and I don't know if it's that far off. He really does kind of remind me of that type of player, and I think he'll be a red zone threat even early in his career. So I really like that take. And I also like what you said about Trevor Penning. He's a guy that I think a lot of people have in that maybe third or fourth tackle range as far as their rankings, but he's going to be a really good player, and he's going to be a guy that I think maybe falls into the middle or back half of the first round and is going to be a heck of a value for somebody, because you're right, he's a mauler, he plays physical, kind of a nasty edge to his game, and I really like watching his tape as well. So now, who are some prospects, and you touched on a couple here, but maybe to take another step here, who are some prospects that you really like that are projected to go in those middle, maybe later rounds, maybe some guys that are a little under the radar for the average NFL fan? Who are some guys that you're really looking at that can make an impact in those mid to late rounds?
So the kind of my running back crush for this draft is Pierre Strong Jr. from South Dakota State, 5'11", 207, has legitimate 4.3 speed, good receiver out of the backfield. Once again, South Dakota State kind of used him in a one cut roll zone blocking scheme. So he fits a lot of schemes in the NFL. And I think he's a better pass catcher and pass blocker than people give him credit for. So I think if there's maybe a round four, round five, Pierre Strong Jr., I think can be a legitimate starting NFL running back if given the chance. So he's definitely someone that I really think is going to have that opportunity at some point and showcase what he can do. A couple others, edge rusher wise, I really like Josh Pascal from Kentucky, a player who didn't work out at the combine. So he's kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit, but he's another big guy, 6'3", 268, but has kind of that stand up pass rush ability. Had a really good pro day, pretty athletic, good short area quickness. And he wins with so many different moves. I just like what he did in the SEC against and Evan Neal, against some of these top tier offensive tackles in the next couple years. He's someone that's really intriguing to me, that I really like a lot. And then the last one I'll mention at corner is Damari Mathis from Pittsburgh, 5'11", 196. Pitt corners are interesting because they usually end up as better NFL players than college players, because that system puts them on an island, no safety help ever. And so there's a lot of tape of Damari Mathis getting picked on and not doing so hot. But an elite workout, top 96 percentile of corners ever in terms of workouts. He's super athletic. I think he's going to be a pretty good player, especially in a zone scheme where he can use that athleticism to ball hawk a little bit. I think Damari Mathis is a third, fourth round pick that could pay dividends.
Awesome. I love it. I love hearing about some of those later round guys, those mid round guys. Pierre Strong, definitely an under the radar guy. Could be a really good value there, maybe in the third or fourth round. And Josh Pascal, I think you're right. This is a guy who's a big, strong, versatile defender. He does a lot of different things on the field. So he's a guy that I also like your take on him as well. Now, we talked about some guys that we really like here. Time to flip it a little bit. Give me a player or two that you think is maybe being overhyped leading into this draft.
I'll say one that I've never understood, and I don't know, maybe it'll make me look stupid in the future, right? Sometimes that's how it goes. But that's John Metchie III, the receiver out of Alabama, who a lot of people had as a kind of a top 50 pick coming into the year. Jameson Williams obviously was much more dynamic. Metchie kind of became the number two guy, and then he had the big injury in the playoff. And still getting kind of this day two hype. And I just don't see it. Like, I have a wide receiver 14, and that almost sometimes I'm just like, I think that's too high. I just don't think he's a great route runner. I don't think he's super tough at the point of attack. I don't think he does anything great. And those receivers usually phase just don't work in the NFL. Plus the injury, there's just a lot working against him. So he's one of those players that still gets mocked in the second round. And yeah, an NFL team probably takes him day two against my wishes, is probably someone that, I just don't quite understand the love for him that is out there. So he's definitely one. And I think the other one, I'll say in terms of like offensive tackles, there's a couple players that people like a lot. The one that looks like a first round pick potentially is Tyler Smith out of Tulsa. He's young, super young, but like super raw. I just think right now he could be a good player, but he's going way too high. If he goes in the top 50, I think Tyler Smith, maybe at 324 pounds, might be a better guard. I don't think he has the requisite kind of kick slide for the offensive tackle position. A lot of mental mistakes at Tulsa. His teammate Chris Paul there, I think, maybe has just as much upside and is going to go 2-3 rounds later. So that's one. I think Tyler Smith could be a good player, but I think he's just getting kind of over. He'll probably get overdrafted when the time comes.
Yeah, I like those takes as well. And I'm definitely with you on John Metchie. I think he's a nice player, but I think you're right. The value, maybe getting a little overvalued, because I don't really see that explosiveness, that separation that you want to see from a high-level receiver. I don't really see it as much as you should for a guy that's being viewed in his range. Now, this is a unique draft class. Now, I've seen several different players viewed by draft analysts that there's a wide range of players that they think are at the top of this class. Many think that Aiden Hutchinson will go number one overall, but some people actually think there's other players that may be better or have more upside. So I'm going to ask you, who's the best player in this draft?
If it was up to me, and my number one player in this draft is Kayvon Thibodeau, the edge rusher from Oregon, and he's been there for over a year. It's been maybe a year and a half. He's been my number one player in this class. I have Aiden Hutchinson number two. I know that Kayvon Thibodeau is not going to go number one overall. He might not go in the top five of this draft, but I still think the pass rush ability that he brings to the table is elite. That elite first step you cannot teach. And he has that. He has a really good football IQ. I think Thibodeau is getting kind of a raw deal in teams seeing him maybe as one-dimensional or not super passionate or whatever, coming up with kind of these excuses to move a guy down that's been the number one player at that position since high school in this class. I just think Thibodeau is going to be a great pass rusher in the NFL. He's not, like I said, he's not going to go one, but ultimately I think you can't go wrong if you take him and utilize him in a pass rush role. There's a lot to like, and I'll probably sit here with Thibodeau as my number one player in this draft all the way through the end.
Well, I love that take, because I think he's been the most shocking slide, so to speak, by a lot of these analysts and projections and a lot of these mock drafts that you see out there. We've kind of watched him go from being viewed as a top one or two pick, and now a lot of these mocks are sliding them, like you said, some even outside of the top five, which to me I think is shocking, because I'm with you. This guy has the full toolbox as far as the athleticism, the speed, the quickness off the edge, everything that you're looking for a dominant rush defender. I think he checks all those boxes, and I think you're right. It almost feels like suddenly people have been nitpicking his game and looking for reasons why he isn't that great, and I think we're forgetting why he is great. So I love that take by you. I think if he slides somewhere to five or six or in that range, I think he's going to be a huge steal in this draft, because you're right. I like Aiden Hutchinson. He's maybe a little more polished of a player, but the upside for Thibodeau, I don't think we've seen his best football. And if he unlocks it, man, he is going to be something else at the next level. But it has been an absolute blast having you on the show. We've been joined once again by Shane P. Hallam, who's a NFL draft analyst for draftcountdown.com. Be sure to check out his work there. Give him a follow on Twitter as well. Always great stuff. Thank you so much, Shane, for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
No, thanks, Brad, for having me. Always fun talking drafts. I appreciate you bringing me on, man.
That is going to do it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it, PGF Nation. Excited to be back. We're going to be back next week with more NFL draft coverage, of course, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Pint Glass Football Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on Twitter at PGF Podcast.